Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. If you'd open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. So we're heading somewhere. We have an agenda. Why? Only the Bible has an agenda. It's heading somewhere. If you have a dad or have had a dad, this message is for you. If you loved your dad sincerely and you adored him and you wanted to grow up to be just like him, this sermon's for you. If you're a girl and you wanted to grow up and marry someone just like your dad, this message here is for you. If your dad was absent or you wish he was absent because he was a handful, this message is for you. And if your dad is like just north or just south of Adolf Hitler, or your dad was just the best dad ever, or anything in between, this message is for us. And I think it will be very helpful, and I think if there are hard and bad feelings, I think it will be very healing. I say we're going somewhere. If you look at, I'll read chapter 5, but if you look at chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's after we talk about what spirit-filled moms look like. I mean spirit-filled wives and what spirit-filled dads look like. We're going to talk about spirit-filled parents. We're going somewhere, okay? And I think, don't shoot the messenger. We're going to talk to wives about how to be godly wives. We're going to talk to men about how to be godly men, godly husbands. Listen, we don't skip verses. And I am just stupid enough that fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I don't care what's politically correct. I just care what the Bible says, and we'll talk about it. Now here, I want us to look at the first 18 verses, and let's read together with us. I'm gonna pray. This is kind of like holy ground, and kind of like I feel like I'm in so far in over my skis that it just seems wise to stop at this point and ask God for his direction and blessing. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd lead and you'd guide and you'd give us ears to hear and give me the right words to say. I mean, we can go a lot of different places with this. I trust we'll go in the place that will be the most benefit and the most honoring to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. We'll get there. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We'll get there. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime a darkness. Better there, at one time you were in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of these things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, let's jump right in. Last week we kind of looked at verse 1 and 2. We're not going to avoid them all together, but we're going to kind of start in verse 3. And I have some notes. I think I do. Unless somebody hid them on me. That would be most ungood thing to do. What's that? There you go. Don't hide notes from the pastor. I have no idea. Hey, Mike. Can you look in my jacket pocket and see if there's a piece of folded up I think it's the right jacket pocket. I have some notes because I had some, there was some things that I really wanted to remember, and I usually don't use notes, and this is why, because, oh, see? Okay. Mike saves the day again. Isn't he a wonderful, he really is. He rescues kittens from trees. He's just awesome, right? Even just on his way to church, 8 or 10 kittens. It's just crazy. Okay, look at verse 3. Fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Fornication, every time it gives us a list of sins in the New Testament, fornication, or sometimes adultery, it always mentions sex sin in the first or the second sin. It's a big deal. Fornication here means sex sin, and it's porneia in the Greek, and it's a big bucket. All the nasties fit in there. Adultery, sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, extramarital, pornography. They say like 90-something percent of men in America use pornography regularly, 50% of pastors. Know this, I don't, and I have to insist on zero. It's the right number here. Men, what does it say? Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Take all that nasty, we're children of God. We don't roll like that for a very important reason, as we'll see that in verse 5 and 6. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, not even. Okay, filthiness, no filthiness, right? And all foolish talking, nor jesting. Jesting here, and foolish talking is foolish talking like you would think, right? You're always clowning around. You're never serious. Everything's a joke. I think God has a sense of humor, and I think this place in the Bible we read and we laugh. I'm not against a sense of humor, but if you're constantly the clown, that's not a good thing. I'm always laughing, always joking, always teasing, always, and then I'm telling somebody about Jesus, and I'm like, yeah, you're always clowning around. It doesn't, you know what I mean? I have a reputation of being a clown, and then I can't say serious things. I don't think it's a good thing. Here, also, it says jesting, coarse humor. The stuff in the locker room, let's stay in the locker room, and don't you even bring it out, and don't you say it even in the locker room. Don't listen to it. Somebody's telling a joke. That's like, and you know where this is going? Okay, it's a traveling salesman, farmer's daughter, where's the door? I'm out of here. Any questions? We don't generally do that. We don't generally walk away from somebody telling a joke. Do it. I don't want my brain to go there. And so off we go. This is what the verse is telling us. And by the way, we're going to see a lot of this here this morning. I'm just delivering the mail. I didn't write it. If you're having problems with any of this stuff, you want to take it up with the author. And I mean that sincerely. I don't believe what the Bible says. But you have a lordship issue, and you really want to deal with, you want to pray, and you want to work that out with God, okay? I don't mean that in a mean-spirited way. I have verses that trouble me sometimes. I'm like, Lord, this is what do I do with this? And he explains, and he's good that way. He takes me to other verses to help me to understand. The Bible tells us that. If any man lack wisdom, you want to ask God. Will he give to you? Generously, liberally is the word. He won't yell at you. You here again asking me for wisdom again? No, he's good with that. He loves to fill out your lack of knowledge with knowledge. So we're not, no coarse jesting, no coarse humor. It's not convenient, but rather, you got that tongue in your mouth, don't wag it telling dirty jokes, give thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Adam, what does that mean? It means that if your life is given to this stuff, don't think you're on board, don't think you're a Christian, don't think you're going to heaven. You can't believe that's what it says, Adam. I do believe that what it says. As a matter of fact, don't let anyone deceive you with vain words. Listen, once you come to Christ, all that stuff's washed away, and it doesn't matter what you do from here on in, forever, it's okay, it's all under the blood. That would be vain words. I would be deceiving you, and I don't want to deceive you. To be sure, when you come to Christ, everything you've ever done, no matter how ugly, no matter how ragged, no matter how vile and sick and twisted it is, he forgives us everything. Praise his holy name. and he gives us eternal life. And that life looks like something. You know, come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. I'm not saying we become perfect, but we become saved, and our life starts taking on a different... It's just different. And people will see the difference. I'm not saying... Listen, I'm not trying to condemn. I'm really trying to walk a tightrope here. Can a Christian fall into sin? Yes. Welcome to all of our lives. Can we fall into even sex sin? Yes. Do we live there? No. And if you're living there, listen, I'm going to tell you. You say, well, I'm born again. I know the Lord, and I'm addicted to pornography, and I'm cheating on my wife, and I'm living with my girlfriend. You know, I hear this kind of stuff, and I'm thinking, like, what? Have you read that? And I'll point people to this verse. Did you lose your salvation? I don't think so. I don't think you ever had it. I think whatever you did, whatever aisle you walk, whatever prayer you prayed, I don't think it took. I don't think... If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things, they're passed away. All things become new. And I think we mark our newness of life, our born-againness, by it's new, it's different, it's not like it used to be. If you come, if you're living and you're sinning up a storm and you come to Christ and you're living that same old sordid, twisted, sad, sick life, what was redeemed? What changed? What was born again in you? What was renewed? This verse is telling us, no, there has to be a change. There just has to be. You're living under the oppression of the devil and living in sin, and you can't get free of it? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus frees, whom the Son of Man sets free, is free indeed. And you're saying, oh, I can't get free of it. Really? That doesn't sound like a Christian talk. And this verse, I'm telling you, it's saying this. I'm not trying to deceive you with vain words. Your life has to be marked by a change when you come to God. And you'll say, well, I'm not perfect. Agreed. And you can look at your life. And I've looked at my life, try to judge soberly and stuff. And I say, this thing, I just went right away. And this here, well, it took a long season. And I look at my life, and if I graft it out, I always say it looks like a boy walking upstairs with a yo-yo. It's not an overnight perfect, I'm never going to sin again. I think we all have known that. But I mean, Jesus comes into your life and he makes some changes. And if your life is given to sin, guess what? You're still on the outside looking in. I don't know how else to say it. And this is what these verses are saying. Adam, I've heard you say before you're not worried about losing your salvation. I'm not. I don't think this person ever had any. That's my take on it. Could I be wrong? Hey, look. That's what I'm thinking. But don't know this. Know this for sure. No unclean person, a covetous man. You're worshiping idols. Guess what? Who you're not worshiping? The true and living God. You don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And don't let anyone tell you any difference. You know, we cut our teeth in the kind of like the Baptist side of the church. They're a different breed. I love them, brothers. They love the Lord. And I didn't say anything different from that. But they put a lot of stock in that altar call thing. Okay, that's the whole thing, you know. A guy will die and he's like 107, you know. And they'll say, yeah, when he was 8, yeah, I was with him and it was an altar call. And he went up and he prayed and stuff. And he never did another righteous thing in his whole life after 8. Except he made that call. And people put a lot of stock in that. Oh, yeah, he's born again. You come up and pray, you know what? All it means is you prayed. That's all. What did you connect? Did you repent? Did you? I did. When I asked Christ to come in my heart, he did. I mean, I was sorry for my sins. I was praying for a change. I wanted I was going to hell. I knew I was going to hell. I entered into a bargain. I didn't know about things like eternal security, or I wouldn't even, you know, use things like that. But I know something that very significant happened. I walked through a door that slammed shut behind me. I know I wasn't going back the other way ever. I knew that. I know that's not very biblical. I know that's not very, I don't have a book, chapter, and verse for that. But I knew that there was a significant change in my life. It changed after that. And it wasn't like me, you know, willpower, and I'm just going to do better now. It wasn't like that at all. It was really like, I remember especially the early days, I felt like I was watching my life rather than living it. I saw Jesus making these wholesale changes that was surprising even me. All of a sudden, I developed an attitude like, I want to read the Bible. I want to go to Bible study. Hey, let's go to prayer meeting. That sounds like a great time. Up until that time, not so much. What happened? Jesus came into my life, new taste buds, new person. If any man made Christ, is a new creation. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Change happened. And if we're still living the same old life, well, listen, you've got to ask yourself that question. Are you being deceived with vain words? These things, because of these things, these covetousness, whoremonger, unclean, idolatry, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Will Jesus deliver you from these things? I'm telling you, he will. He's a savior. He's a redeemer. He will change your life if you ask him into it. Don't therefore, be partakers with them. Don't walk like they walk. You're different. You're a child of God. Once upon a time, you were in darkness. We get that. Okay, you know, you say, well, you know, back in the day, I'm not saying I'm never guilty of any of these things we just talked about. We're all guilty of all those things to one degree or another at one time or another. We were once in darkness. I get that. And he says that to the Ephesians. He said, listen, I get it. One time you were in darkness, but now, and this is the emphasis here, but now it's a new day. I love that about Jesus Christ. It's a new day. Now are ye children of light. Now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. It's a different walk, isn't it? You know, a lot of people just want to be just like everybody else. The Church of Jesus Christ wants to be just like everybody else. I need you to be not like everybody else. This, we're leading the world in everything wrong. Everything that's wrong with this planet is kind of born here in America, and we export it to the rest of the world. I see that, like, Muslim countries are mad at us. I get that. I totally get that. I'm not saying, you know, murder and terrorism is right. It's obviously wrong. But I understand. We're like the pornography capital of the entire planet. We export everything that's wrong. We're the cheerleaders in anti-God. And then the Supreme sit and he said, oh, we don't know who's supposed to marry who, and we don't even, kick God out of our government, and then we've kind of sowed the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind, and it's only going to get worse. I say this, 2016, brace for impact. Story for, I was going to kind of film at 11, story for another time, let's keep moving. But you were dark, now you're light, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And our life should be marked by goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Gee, I wonder if it's God's will for my life to knock over this bank. No, that would be against the law. Therefore, it would be wrong. It's easy to do. We put the word of God in our lives. You know, so every day, a lot of you guys are doing this now. I'm very, very happy with your Bible reading. A lot of you have friended me on YouVersion of the Bible, and a lot of you guys are doing some reading. I'm really happy. Isn't it having its effect? I think I was saying... maybe Wednesday night, where like the Word of God. So what happens is I listen to the Word of God in the morning, and it kind of prepares me for the rest of the day. I get the verse that I'm going to need. I get the verses. I get the download that I'm going to need, the verses that I'm going to need for that day. And then later on in the day, something comes up, and I think about, oh, wasn't this what I was... that happened to you? Is it just a bit? Now, see how the Word of God is? And it's just like that. It's just like proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather approve them. We're not saying have no fellowship with people who are in darkness. If you don't want to do that, you're going to have to leave the earth, okay? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We don't have to go where they go. We have to do what they do. We can love them. We can minister to them. And I think we should. And I'm kind of sad. Like, a lot of times people come to Christ and then they get all their heathen friends they leave behind. That's a bad idea. I mean, it really is. I mean, if they're overwhelming you to drag you to a bar and get drunk and you used to do that and stuff like that, don't go to the bar with them. Doesn't mean you have to get rid of them all the way out of your life. But don't have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove them. What is that? Expose. Hey, have you been, somebody, you know, uses the Lord's name in vain and then they apologize to you? You're approving them just with your presence. Sometimes you might have to use words. I get that. You get that. Just being a lover of Jesus Christ is reproof sometimes. Sometimes you have to expose it. You have to say, you know, that's wrong. I hear people saying filthy, crude humor, and I'll say, do you kiss your mom with that mouth? Really? And tell them, hey, that's wrong. That's not a good thing to do. However God leads you, however the Spirit of God leads you, will he? Oh, yeah. He's about righteousness. He's about light. Whatever makes manifest is light in 13. We'll get there, right? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Expose. Reprove. It's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Have you ever heard anyone share their testimony in such a way that they tell you, gave you all the gory details? I try not to do that. Why? Because of this verse. I say, listen, before I knew Jesus, I was a reprobate. I was a Marine. I was living life like a Marine. I was a bad guy. Have anyone ever heard me say anything like that? Yeah. What about the particulars? I don't talk about them. Why? It's a shame to even speak of those things. And I've heard people testify in the Church of Jesus Christ and say, oh, yeah, back when I was selling drugs and I was, you know, doing all this. And they give us the gory details. And TMI, we don't need to know that. And then at the end of the whole story about how decrepit and bad and evil, when Jesus came into my life and saved me, and that's all they give Jesus. Listen, I don't tell you about Jesus. I don't want to tell you about me and what a reprobate I was. I was a bad guy. Jesus saved a sinner. You need to know that. You need to know about your own life, and I want to share that he can change your life. He can transform your life. He can take you as bad as you are and make you new. He can purify the prostitute. He can sober up the drunk. He can take your life wherever it's broken and make it, give you a new day and make you a new person. He can do that, and that's what you need to know. Do you need to know my gory details? Not so much. It's a shame. It's shameful stuff. Why would I talk about it? Why would I exalt it like, you know, and I think we do this sometimes. Now listen, you're talking in private with somebody, and they're in a situation, a sin that you know about, because you were in it too. And God says, tell them, share that with them. Tell them, like, oh, I can never get rid of this drug problem. Hey, I was taking this and this and pharmaceuticals, I was in OxyContin, I was in, not my situation, I was never a drug guy, but I mean your situation perhaps, and you tell them, I asked Christ to come into my heart, he changed me, he took all those things away. You can share that. I don't think that's shameful. I think that's glorifying to Jesus Christ. I think that's ministering to a person. But you're glorifying, look at all what I did. I was a horrible person. I was badder than bad. That's subtly about you and less about Jesus. Don't do that. That's shameful. Don't exalt that sort of stuff. It's a shame to even talk about that stuff. Like I say, I don't give you gory details because of this verse. And I knew this verse. I know it was here all along. I just don't want to, you know, embarrass people and talk about, anyway. But all those things that are reproved or exposed, is the idea, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Is that a painful process very often? Yeah, when your dark stuff is exposed, yeah, it's icky. Own it, repent, move on. Jesus is wonderful. He gives you a new day, every day. He's awesome, good. I don't know how else to say it. And some of you are nodding, some of you say, yeah, I know, trust me, I understand, he's awesome, good, he's been good with me, I was horrible, and now he's given me a new life, and a new lease on the old life, and he's fixed my relationships, and all the things I've done wrong, the mess that I've got myself into, he's delighted in cleaning that all up, he's good. All things that are reproved and made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Light has this nasty habit of bringing things to light. That's why we call it that. Hey, by the way, while we're talking about that, the first thing we know about God, God created the heavens and the earth, so he's creator. One, he exists. Bible presupposes that. And that he creates. Now, what do we know? What's the next thing we know about him? He spoke into the darkness, and he brought light. He's the light giver. How do you do it? He said, light be. Okay, let there be light in the King James. Originally, he said this. What? Hebrew? Greek? Latin? I don't know. Cleon? I don't know what God spoke. I would say Hebrew, probably. Light be. And light was. Now, later on, we'll find out that we're made in the image of God. It's very important to me to know that. What are the one first thing we know? He's creator. Can you create out of nothing? Speak things into existence? No. So we'll give him a pass on that. He's God and we're not, okay? But the next thing we can do, what? You mean speak light into existence? Well, we don't have to. It's already been spoken into existence. But God spoke into the darkness and light came. Do that. It's very, very godly. Speak into the darkness and light comes. It's a very, very godly thing to do. Say, well, what do you mean? Be like God. This is going somewhere, this whole message. Be like God. He spoke into the darkness, light came. Well, what did he use? He used his word. Say, so what should I use? Use his word. Speak into darkness, light will come. It makes manifest. It's a glorious thing. The whole thing is glorious. Now we can see it clearly. We can determine what it is. We can deal with it. It's not in shadows anymore where Satan operates. It's out in the light. Now it's made manifest. It's a good thing. Because, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee what? Life? No, light. A life, too. I mean, you're rising from the dead, right? That's salvation. That's the salvation experience. We're rising from the dead. Does he give us life? Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's not what this verse is saying. He gives us light. What's that? Illumination. Understanding. We can see. We wrote a whole song about it, right? I was once blind, but now I can see. Comes from the, I think it's the 9th chapter of John, where you get Jesus is dealing with the blind man. You remember that? They bring him in. What do you know about this guy? Is he a prophet? Hey, listen, I don't know any of that stuff. Let me tell you something. I was blind. Now I see. Listen, let me tell you something. Adam, I once was blind. I didn't get it. I didn't understand. I thought you went to heaven by being a good person. But now I see. Ah, and have you experienced that? Illumination. You can see things you used to not be able to see. Why? Because he saith, awake from the sleep, your sleep, arise from the dead, Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Acrobos is the word, like an acrobat. Sure-footed is the idea. And you don't want to be like a fool, but you want to be wise. I would invite you to our Sunday night study in Proverbs, when it's dealing with fools and with wise, and it's such a fun study. It's such a fun book. But you can do that. You can do that on your own. I mean, if you're not able to come here, you can see what the Bible says. And then redeem the time for because the days are evil. Now, the next thing he's calling us to do is redeem the time. Days, they're evil. He's saying, really? Yeah. Yeah, talk to people. Hey, you're reading your Bible. And this is, some people come to me and, oh, this and this and this and bad thing and bad thing and bad thing and bad thing happened. And I always say, are you reading your Bible? And they, oh, I knew you were going to say that. What was I going to say? Are you reading Mad Magazine? Are you watching SpongeBob on TV? What am I going to say? I say, are you reading your Bible? And invariably, no. If I had the time, they would say, if I could just find the time. There's no time to be found. Listen. I don't know if you got the memo. Every minute has 60 seconds. There's 60 minutes in an hour. There's 24 hours in a day. That's all we get. We all have the same amount of time. How do we fill it up? Well, I've got, you know, a house full of kids, and I've got, God bless you. Oh, God bless you. Mommy brain. Oh, I know. We went through that. I know. Look. You need the word more than anybody else in the whole world. How are you ministering to those kids without the word of God? You need it. You got to find the time. You got to get up at 2 in the morning and spend time with Jesus. I don't know what you got to do, but you need the time. You need the Bible. You need the word of God. Redeem the time. So what I was determined, I get this device in my pocket. It's, I don't know, 5 by 2.5. I can talk to people. Big clue. I'm not sure if I should have it. It's got a little picture of an apple with a bite taken out. I don't know if someone named Adam should own such a device, okay? just a thought, right? It can waste your whole life. I heard somebody talking. I think it was last Wednesday night or the Wednesday before that. I heard somebody talking. They didn't have a smartphone, nor do they need one. I'd be on there all the time. I would just be on there all the time. I was thinking, that's wisdom. That's wisdom right there. I think it was you, Kevin, wasn't it? Yeah, Kevin's shaking and say, yeah, wisdom. That's good. I know what I'm. What's more of a match? I took all the games off mine. I got one on there just because sometimes when I'm like waiting and I'm just waiting, I need something. But I don't want to spend my whole life on the, you know, checking the weather, checking my email, checking the. You know what I mean? You can do that. You can do that with. But before they invented iPhones, they had pinball games or comic books, or there's always something. Satan always gives you a, and the thing itself isn't a horrible thing. Books, I think books is kind of redeeming the time, depending on the books. Watching television, that's, you know, if everyone just got rid of TV in their life, you'd have plenty of time to read all the Bible you want, to do all the praying you want, to just live the life, visit your mom, you know, make the phone call that you need to make. You'd have plenty of time, it seems to me. But anyway, however God speaks to you, you want to buy back. Redeem is the idea of buying back. You want to purchase all the time you can. You're going to need it. Why? The days are evil. I'm 56 years old, and you know, when I listen to someone who's 56 before, they go, yeah, gramps, whatever, you know what I mean? And you tell me, it goes by so fast. Now, you who are 56 years old, or 50, or 45, you're thinking, man, it went by real fast. I remember, you know that young man who just gave me that paper? I remember bringing him over to the hospital. He was 10 pounds. He was big. He was a bruiser, right? 9 or 10. Both of my kids were 9 and 10 pounds. I don't remember which one was which, right? They're both big, and we brought him home. But in the grand scheme, he's bigger now. I mean, imagine having him now. I mean, he's a big boy. And he was just like, and we brought him home from the hospital, and, he learned how to walk and all that stuff, I guess. And then he went out and got married, like 2 days later. What happened? Where did all the time go? I was always aware of it. All the time I was thinking, I was trying to buy up every opportunity to hang out with my kids because I knew they were growing. I knew they were headed out of the house. And we always did that. Like when we bought bikes for the whole family. Bought tennis rackets for the whole family. We all go climbing up some mountain together or doing. We always try to spend like that quality family time. Why? Because the days, you got to buy up all the opportunities. As days go by, you look up and you're old and you're thinking, wow, what happened? So if you're still got most of your life ahead of you, redeem the time. Understand what the will of the Lord is. In verse 17, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, can I be drunk with vodka? No, what are you, some sort of like alcohol Nazi or Pharisee or something? Like, no, you can't be drunk. Now, we're going to cover this again. If you're like, oh, that's it? Now, that's all you're going to say about being Spirit-filled? No. But I'm just introducing it this time. I want you to be Spirit-filled, and I don't want you to be drunk with any mind-altering substances at all. And that would include being high. And I don't care if we get recreational marijuana in Maine. It doesn't make it right. It only makes it legal. Don't addle your brain. Now, medical marijuana, if people ask me about that, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I don't even want to talk about that, okay? I don't want to. Is there a benefit? Ask somebody who knows more about it than me, okay? I'm not on medical marijuana. I'm not saying that because I'm giving everyone a hall pass. I'm not using any kind of marijuana. My next joint will be my first, and at 56, I'm guessing I'll probably see. That'll probably never happen, okay? Not in the smoking dope. Never smoked dope. Never. I was in the Marine Corps back before. When I first got saved, I was in the Marine Corps. Drank a lot because it was legal. Okay, never got high because they used to come and they used to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, come here, son, why don't you fill up this cup? And God help you if it came back positive. Bad conduct discharge, didn't want one. So never smoke dope. Don't addle your brain. That's the message here. Don't. If you're on a prescription medication given to you by a doctor, I'm not, okay? So don't take Zoloft or any. There are some really powerful medications. I'm not dealing with that. I'm not going there. I'm talking about don't get drunk with wine, okay? But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, I've given you a list. You get all the. You write them all down. I got 9 don't do's and I got 11 do's. Did you get them? What do you mean? You got them right. You get the download. Now you're a perfect person. You do these things, you go to heaven. No way it's going to happen. You just come in here and you're visiting. This has nothing to do with going to heaven. If you do these things, you go to heaven. Well, if you do them to a large degree, and if you abstain from the don'ts, you... No. So you came right in the middle of our study. Children of God, don't be doing these things. Okay, the do's, you want to be doing these things, children of God. Okay? Let me go over the don't. Fornication, verse 3, don't do it. Filthiness, verse 4, foolish talking, don't do that. Jesting, crude joking, verse 4 also. 7, don't be partakers with people who are going to hell. Don't do the same things they're doing, is what it's saying. Number 6 is verse 11, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Number 7 is in verse 15, don't walk like fools walk. Verse 17, number 8 is don't be unwise. And the 9th one is verse 18, be not drunk. Got them? Do those things. Don't do those things, I mean. What do I do? Well, verse 8, walk as children of light. Verse 9, you want goodness. Verse 9, again, you want righteousness. Verse 9, you want truth. Verse 10, prove what is acceptable. Verse 11, reprove or expose the unfruitful works of darkness, right? Expose them, reprove them. Number 7 is from verse 15, walk circumspectly, acrobos, walk like an acrobat. The 8th one is verse 15, walk as wise. Verse 16 is the 9th one, redeem the time. The 10th one is verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. And the 11th one is verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Adam, something's missing. This is not a typical Adam, Casper, Zach Bible study. I know. I didn't give you the how-to. That's important because I don't want you to think, do these things and don't do these things. Now I pontificate on why and I just moralize and you got it. Here's the how-to, okay? Why did I start off by saying this was about dads? Verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. This is the how-to. You're saying, well, I think the how-to is the Spirit-filled. This is even the how to be Spirit-filled. This is before even that. I want you to be followers of God as dear children. Your dad gave you an example, for better or for worse. Mine did. Most of my parenting I learned from my dad. The default button set on my parents. That's how I learned to be parents first. Now, we like to think we've refined it. We've culled and we've taken the good and we've thrown out the less than good. I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus. My parents, mom never listens to me on the radio. This will be the first one she'll listen to and she'll never speak to me again. Mom's great, okay? Mom, you're great. Okay, hear that? Maybe she'll be switching through the dials or something. She never listens, don't worry about it. Here's the thing. So I like to call and so we set a default button on our parents very, very often. Not always, very often. If they're stricter, if you're stricter than I am, because I did what my parents did, if you're stricter than me, you're abusive. If you're less strict than I am, you're the kids are going to be spoiled rotten. You're going to raise liberals. Right? No. But we learn things from our parents. If you know, Mike and my other son, Adam, they don't smoke. Why? Their dad never did. Mike's a really, really good husband. I'd like to think he learned that from me. He's a really devoted dad. I'd like to think he learned that from me. Can I say that humbly? I don't know if you can. Maybe I just already said too much. I'd like to think he learned some stuff from me. He copied me. For better or for worse, for whatever that looks like. We do that with our parents, right? Well, not me. My dad was absent or he was not to be emulated. This parent is. Be followers. Do what God does. Now, you're not going to do that perfectly, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it significantly. What is God? Who's God? He's our Father. Look, it says, as dear children. He's not your natural dad. He's your adopted dad. We've already learned that in the book. This is incredible. This is incredible. Adoption is, I think adoption is wonderful. we can't have any children. And it's a heartache, and I understand that. I don't want to. Oh, that's nothing. Get over it. No. I'm not trying to be cavalier about people struggle with infertility. We have this other option called adoption. What a wonderful, because look at all, when you have children, all this is biology. And maybe your biology isn't the most wonderful biology in the world. Maybe you're passing on heart disease or whatever. A lot of these things are, a lot of diseases are like, they come through the genetics. There's already somebody who's born who needs our love. Let's love them. You know, Jesus changed forever the way we look at this. In the Roman world, you know, the dad's like, yep, we'll keep them. Oh, a girl? Nah. Psh. Throw her out on a pile to sit. Somebody else can pick her up and make a slave out of her, prostitute, cook. Don't matter. We don't care because they're just children. We'll have another one. No big deal. In Israel, they learned from the pagans around them, they sacrificed their children to a pagan god. I don't want to say how. It's going to offend your sensibilities. We talk about it sometimes on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights or something. Literal child sacrifice. Jesus came along. Kids are coming, running to Jesus. Hey, moms, dads, the master hasn't got time for your little snotty face. Get them kids away from, they're all around him. They're jumping on his lap. They're pulling on his beard. I'm sure, because you know how kids are. They're insane. I love them. And Jesus is indignant. Here he says, no. And the language is very harsh. You leave them alone. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. He changed forever the way we look at children. Now there are orphanages, and now there are and places where the gospel hasn't reached. They have different views of children. What am I saying? In communist countries, Russia, they don't love their children. Stuff. I'm not saying that. Don't put words in my mouth. But places where they don't have Christianity, places where we're moving away from Christianity, kids are different. It's all different. In your house, you love Jesus, and kids come into your house, you praise the Lord, what a great blessing, and you your life is all evolves around them, as it should, because Jesus changed forever the way we look at. Hey, while I'm thinking about it, out by the coffee, there's a picture of a little girl. Her name is Reese. I'm just saying one thing. Look at her picture and pray. Lord, find that girl a home, a forever family. Maybe it's your home. You and God work that out. I'm not. Every time I see the picture, I pray. Do that. The last young boy, he kind of topped out of the program. He grew old enough and was, and I think that's kind of sad, and I almost feel like defeat. You shouldn't feel that way. Sometimes you feel the way you feel. I don't know. I'm not going to try to make any sense of it, but like, we didn't pray him into a good home, and I don't know. I feel like, I know how God values. So Jesus changed things forever. Now, that Jesus spirit get into the whole culture, and children, you know, instead of being thrown on the ash heap, you know, Christians say, hey, can I have them? We'll take care of them. And they loved them, and they brought them up in their own homes and stuff. Listen, it's history. Things like orphanages started springing up. Jesus changed everything. Now, I want you to do these things and not do these things because they're right and because they're wrong, because you're going to go to heaven. No, because we're followers of God. We need the bracelet WWJD to remind us. I don't know. Is that coming back into vogue? Look at that. What would Jesus do in this situation? Not coarse jesting. Fornication, unheard of. Blasphemous that you should even suggest it. No, he's living the perfect life. He's the imitator of God. And we're called here to imitate our Heavenly Father. You remember last week we were talking about forgiveness? This is the how-to on the forgiveness. This is that pivotal verse that connects chapter 4 with chapter 5. I don't think you can forgive in and of your own self, just on your own bootstraps, just pull yourself up by your own and just, I mean, we do this. We imitate God, and God gives us a power. That's going to be the Holy Spirit filling power. We'll get to that next week. But I want you to understand, listen, we do this because this is what God does. And as children of God, He's our loving Heavenly Father. He's our example. We do this because this is how God is. This is what God does. Look at, walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Be Christ-like. You're going to walk in love. Listen, can I ask you something about love? And you can all figure this out. This isn't rocket science. It's not supposed to be either. I say this a lot of times. God puts the cookies on the bottom shelf where little hands like simple minds like mine can grab them. What does it mean to love like Jesus loved? What does it mean to love like God loved? Can you give without loving? Sure. Someone comes to your house and they're collecting for the United Way, and don't give to the United Way. They give the Jimmy Fund or some March of Dimes. Don't give to March of Dimes. Did I say that out loud or just? Ask me why later. But there's some organizations you could just, yeah, here's $20. You know, go away. Don't bother me anymore. And you give to whatever they're collecting for, whatever, Red Cross or whatever. Can you do that without entering in, without loving? Sure. You probably do it all the time. You know how they want to take your change when you're buying a candy bar. Can we keep the change for Special Olympics? Sure you can. What am I going to say? It's a Special Olympics. I like Special Olympics. I'm like, yeah. Oh, they want a dollar and you get the sticker that I'm not going to put in my window, but thanks for the sticker anyway. You do that? I do that. I don't know, right? Is that like, because you're so loving, you're so burdened, no, you just give, right? You get that? Anyone disagree with that? Now, I have another question. Can you love without giving? Can you love without giving? Oh, I knew this was going to be about finances. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about you. Listen, what does it mean to love? What does it mean to be a mom? It means to give your life to your children. What does it mean to be a wife? It means to give your life to your husband. What does it mean to be a friend? You've got to give a slice of life. You've got to give yourself your wisdom, your love, your loyalty, it's all, love is only defined by sacrifice. Why? Look, God so loved the world that he had sweaty palms. And every time he saw the world, little hearts would flow between him and the world. God so loved the world, he gave. What did he give? His only begotten son, the best he had. This is what it means. This is why we do these things. I'm not going to tell crude jokes because I don't think they're funny, because I love Jesus and I don't want to muddy up the water. I know, and I love you enough to not. Doesn't this motivation change like everything? God's not crude. God's not. You see how now we've got motive? Now we've got the reasons to? Now we've got the, it's not just a list that I'm going to, here, don't do this and do this. Don't. No. We love God. He's adopted us into his forever family. This is big. This is huge. This changes like everything ever. You adopted me? Yeah. I selected you. I went to the baby store and I picked you out. Before even the world began, I looked down on the annual time. Adam Kasperzak, he's on my team. I love him. He selected me. Picked, chosen. I don't ask me to figure it out. I have this tiny little brain. I can't figure stuff out like that. He loved me. You're mine. Hey, don't mess up the family name, will you? I love you. And this is a loving Heavenly Father saying, don't get involved in fornication. That's not going to benefit you. That's not going to take you where you want to be. That's going to really mess up your life. That's really going to mess up your marriage. Hey, don't talk like that. Talk like this. Hey, don't be like, and it's a loving Heavenly Father. Like, I had rules for my children. Don't play in the traffic because I hate you. No, because I love you. I don't want you to be incorporated in the grill of a Mack truck. It's not rules that I'm trying to hold you down. It's rules that, like, that's not good for you. You see that? Doesn't this make a difference in the how-to of all these things? Let's stand, let's pray. Lord, you love us, you've adopted us, we bear your name, and this changes only everything. We thank you for this great redemption, Lord Jesus. We thank you for manifesting light in our lives. We thank you for the redemption. Now, these individual things, Lord, work them out in our lives, but you know, first and foremost, we give you us. We want you to deliver us from those sins that we see there. If we live there, it's not going to end up well. We're going to hell. We don't want to be those people. We want to be your own dear children. We thank and praise you for great salvation. Help us to live it out. We don't want to walk as children of darkness. We want to walk as children of light. Thank you for all you've done for us. Lord, every one of us, our dads have let us down to one degree or another. None of them are perfect. All we love them, perhaps, maybe to a great degree, or maybe not so much. But a new day, you're our Heavenly Father. And everything that all human relationships didn't provide, you provide, and we thank you for loving us, for caring about us, for taking care of us, for just all that you do, Lord. We thank and praise you. And let us worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen.